WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Welcome to Trevor Loudon's Enemies Within. Today, I thought I'd talk about an aspect of communism that we see all around us, that it's been going on in the world for many years, but most people don't understand its origins or what it actually is. And it's the communist term for it is the nationality question. It was a term invented by Stalin back in the 1920s. What it means is the manipulation of racial or ethnic minorities towards revolutionary purposes. So the theory of Stalin was basically this, that in a nation like Russia, you had a lot of little nationalities, like you might have Uzbeks or Kazakhs or Ossetians, and they may not be particularly class conscious. They may not have an industrial working base, so they're very hard to harness to the revolution on class lines. But they had ethnic grievances. You know, they didn't like their neighbors. Their neighbors might have stolen their land or invaded their territory. So what you would do, you'd go to these ethnic groups or racial groups and you'd say, we're the revolution. We want to give you your own territory, your own nation. We will help you fight a war of independence against your masters, and then you would have your own socialist Kazakh Republic or your own socialist Ossetian Republic or your Crimean Tatar Republic. So this was developed by Stalin as a way of instigating revolution in areas that were not easy, you know, not easy meat for the communists, because, you know, technically communism was all about class struggle. It was the workers would rise up and take away the wealth of the bosses. It wasn't really a racial thing. But Stalin realized that race is actually more effective in creating chaos than class in certain circumstances. So in the 1920s, the American Communist Party applied this in the American South. And they actually started to work amongst the black populations of the South, the Black Belt, to form a black Soviet republic in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Mississippi, and Alabama. They wanted those states to break away and form a black socialist republic. Now, that was a real Soviet program for some time in that time, but it didn't really fire because the communists weren't strong enough in the South, and the blacks tended to be very Christian and weren't very, open to communism. The Alabama Communist Party in the 1920s had about 500 members, and they used to open their Communist Party meetings with prayer. Okay, they'd all sit around and pray in Christian prayer because they told the blacks that communism was basically Christianity, just an updated form of Christianity. They'll use whatever it takes in where they are, you know, in the Indian countries, they will use Hinduism to promote communism. In Thailand, they'll use Buddhism. In the American South, they'll use Christianity, and they still use the black churches today for that purpose. So this was the early application of the national question in the American South. It didn't work too well. So Stalin fades away from the pages of history. And then you have the Chinese Revolution of the 1940s. Now Mao developed Stalinism further because Mao understood in China you had no industrial working class. China was a nation of peasants, but you did have ethnic groups. So Mao developed Stalin's nationalities question theories even more so. And they were applied to Tibet, for instance. You know, the Tibetans were encouraged. The communists went into Tibet and used Tibetan nationalism to basically stage a revolution there and then completely squashed, you know, any Tibetan culture they could. But they used it to take over. So in America in the 1960s, most of the revolutionary left in this country was Maoist. You had this fake Soviet-Chinese split in the 60s. You had the pro-Soviet Communist Party USA, which was old-fashioned and dogmatic. And you had this new breed of revolutionaries, the Weather Underground, the SDS, the League of Revolutionary Struggle, Progressive Labour Party, Communist Labour Party. They all split off. They all were part of the Maoist movement of the 1960s. And they supported Fidel Castro and Mao Tse-tung and Ho Chi Minh and actually looked down on Soviet Russia as even an enemy. You know, they regarded them as a reactionary force. And so they were very, very active in the racial movements. You know, the Black Panther Party was very much a national question operation, a Maoist pro-Chinese operation. You get the blacks and you get them rebelling against the white oppressors, and that is how you get a revolution in America. And in 1970, a Black Panther from Chicago called Fred Hampton took it even further. He set up the first Rainbow Coalition. That was the black radicals, the Black Panthers, the brown radicals, the Mexicans, the brown berets, the Mexican radicals, and the whites, the young patriots, the young Maoist communist group. You got them all together, working together in a Maoist sort of alliance called the Rainbow Coalition. Well, this got picked up by Jesse Jackson a few years later. Jesse Jackson applied national question politics, organizing the racial minorities in a political sense rather than a strictly violent revolutionary sense, because the violent revolution of the 1920s hadn't panned out. The blacks were too Christian. The violent revolution of the 60s hadn't panned out. America wasn't ready for it. America was too patriotic. But you could harness the resentments of the black population towards revolutionary purposes by using them for political ends, for increasing the power of the Democratic Party, moving the Democratic Party left. This had been tried in the civil rights era to some degree, but the Maoists really, really developed it. So the Rainbow Coalition that Jesse Jackson set up had the idea that united the progressive whites, progressive blacks, progressive Latinos, so you got the white stripe, the black stripe, the brown stripe, progressive Native Americans for the red stripe, progressive gays for the lavender stripe, progressive environmentalists for the green stripe, progressive Asians for the yellow stripe, and this is their terminology, and you joined all those minorities together to get a winning coalition, a left-wing coalition. And the League and the Rainbow Coalition, Jesse Jackson ran for president twice, 1984 and 1988. And he got 7% of, I think he got second in the Democratic Party primary in 1988 and 7 million votes running on this proposition. And it surprised a lot of people because he was a fruitcake even then. He was regarded as a scamster even then. But the League of the Rainbow Coalition was run by the Communist Workers' Party, Maoist, League of Revolutionary Struggle, Maoist, Line of March, Maoist, with some help from the Communist Party USA and Democratic Socialists of America, and also Freedom Road Socialist Organization, Maoist. So it was mainly a Maoist organization, utilizing Mao and Stalin's racial structures, racial theories to bring about revolutionary change through American politics. Well, side by side with that, people like Noel Ignatieff, a former member of the Communist Labour, or the Provisional Organising Committee, a Maoist split from the Communist Party, and Ted Allen, another Maoist, started coming up with the ideas of critical race theory and white privilege. The idea that if you were white, you were automatically racist and privileged. And this was used to prove that therefore blacks and Latinos and Asians were, because they were not white, they were automatically part of the oppressed racial minorities of this country. This Maoist milieu is where the ideas of critical race theory and the idea that we see today all over the place, even in churches, of white privilege. It's a Marxist Maoist idea. So you're born white, you're automatically part of the oppressive class. The oppressive class is not, you know, the old Marxist paradigm was the workers would rise up and overthrow the capitalists. The capitalists were exploiting the workers. The 1% was exploiting the 99%. We saw that in the Occupy Wall Street movement. Typical Marxism, old-fashioned Marxism. The new paradigm was this. You know, that didn't work well in America because class is very socially mobile here. You can start out dirt poor and end up rich. You can start out rich and end up dirt poor. But race is always with you. So they applied this theory of critical race theory of white privilege. Instead of the workers being oppressed by the capitalists, the people of color, the oppressed nationalities, were oppressed by the white capitalist Christian patriarchy. And the only way you could end racism was to end the patriarchy, to end white Christian capitalism. And this is the Marxism that you are seeing all around us today in Black Lives Matter. You're seeing the churches and their critiques of critical race theory, their critiques of white privilege. It's all Maoist Marxist philosophy designed to create a revolution by dividing, by basically driving wedges amongst the races and using the guilt trip of the whites to allow revolutions to take place and harnessing the resentment of the peoples of color, which they exacerbate to turn them into a revolutionary force. Black Lives Matter is complete Maoism, 100% Maoist. So you see, this was operating in parallel. So meanwhile, Jesse Jackson has done the Rainbow Coalition, and then he loses the second election. He loses interest and moves on to other scams. Well, there was a young man called Steve Phillips, who was part of the Rainbow Coalition. He was a young black radical, a law student from Stanford University. He was Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition student organizer in 1984 and in 1988, and a member of the League of Revolutionary Struggle, a pro-Chinese communist Maoist organization. So he leaves Stanford. And he marries into the Sandler family from San Francisco, a very wealthy family. Golden West Savings and Loan, a $2.2 billion fortune. And he uses this money to readapt the Rainbow Coalition strategy, Maoist racial politics, for the new era, for the 90s, for the 2000s and beyond. Because, see, in the Rainbow Coalition days of Jesse Jackson, minorities were about 12% of the voting population. Now it's more like 35%. So Jesse Jackson's idea was before its time. You know, the Maoist concept is of the Rainbow Coalition is much more suited for today's conditions. And meanwhile, in the universities, the young kids have been taught, they're all about white privilege. They've been talked about the racial minorities being oppressed. So they are ripe for this new interpretation of Marxism. So in 2008, Steve Phillips, or 2005, Steve Phillips joins with George Soros and others to set up the Democracy Alliance. This is an alliance of left-wing billionaires, right? And so Steve Phillips is right in there telling these people where to put their money. Instead of just putting it into the Democratic Party and trying to get, you know, 1% of voters in the middle to cross from Republican to Democrat or Independent to Democrat, he's telling them how to use race to move the Democratic Party left and to build coalitions that will win elections permanently in America. In 2008, Steve Phillips gets $10 million together and does big voter registration drives in 17 southern and southwestern states, states with big black and Latino minorities who lean Democrat but vote in very low numbers. So you get amongst them, spend their money with them, and you'll win races for the Democratic Party. And that $10 million and the voter registration drive and get out the vote effort that was done with it was what got Steve Phillips's very good friend Barack Obama ahead of Hillary Clinton in that year's Democratic primary. The whole Obama phenomenon, the white progressives with the rainbow coalition, the progressives of color, was a rainbow coalition Maoist program. The whole thing. And that's what got Obama elected twice, probably with a bit of vote fraud to help. But that's the strategy that was used. Meanwhile, the Maoist groups of the 70s are all realigning, because the Maoist groups collapsed really about the time of Tiananmen Square when the Chinese exposed their brutality to the world. But a lot of them had already moved into the Democratic Party by that stage, and many of them had coalesced in a group called the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, the leading Maoist group in this country. In 1998, Freedom Road split, and both groups called themselves Freedom Road Socialist Organization. It was very confusing. One group wanted to concentrate on traditional Maoism, activism in the streets, riots, chaos, etc. The other group wanted to concentrate more on electoral politics, follow through the Rainbow Coalition, work in the Obama campaign, that kind of thing. So, and they eventually, so you had two groups called Freedom Road for a long time. One more traditionally Maoist, one more electorally focused. And thankfully, in 2019, the more electorally focused group changed their name to Liberation Road, which makes things a little simpler. And they were very active in this year's election, very, very active. Meanwhile, Steve Phillips was putting money into the Liberation Road group and some of the foundations that supported them, and helped to set up a little group, a side group of theirs called Left Roots. Left Roots. So this is sort of a front group for Liberation Road. Steve Phillips was funding this. He helped to set it up. He helped us to set up the program that started this communist group. Meanwhile, Steve Phillips had written a book. It was called Brown is the New White, and it became a New York Times bestseller, basically supported by Obama, supported by Nancy Pelosi. And it's the Bible of today's Democratic Party. And what he says is this: Democrats, forget about the middle. Stop spending your money to bring voters across in the middle. You have millions of Democrat voters in southern states, black, Latino, Asian, Muslim communities, poor whites. They don't vote very much, but they lean your way. Put all of that money into those states and those communities. Sign them up to vote. Run progressive candidates of color, and you will clean up. You'll destroy the Republican base in the South. You'll turn the South Democrat, and you will run America forever. And America will be a socialist state because of what you are doing. And he said, look at the logic of it. Look at the numbers. He said 25% of the electorate are progressives of color, black, Latino, Asian American. 29% of the electorate are white progressives. They will vote Democrat if Adolf Hitler's on the ticket. Doesn't matter. They're locked in Democrats. 29% plus 25% is around 54%. You've already got the majority, Democrats. You have to get your people to the polls. That's your only problem. So run left-wing candidates of color, do massive voter registration drives in the southern states, and that's how you'll win elections. So this is Maoist racial politics applied to modern electoral politics. And this is what has been guiding everything in the Democratic Party's been doing right from Barack Obama onwards. They made a huge mistake when they ran Hillary Clinton because the black population stayed home and Donald Trump managed to win that one. Well, they're not making that mistake again, which is why you had people like Kamala Harris, Steve Phillips' protege, Cory Booker, another Steve Phillips' protege, and Julian Castro, all sort of funded, his organizations were funded by Steve Phillips, running on the Democratic ticket. I said for 3 years Kamala Harris was going to be the candidate, and it looks like I'm sort of right. But anyway, at the same time, Steve Phillips was backing Andrew Gillum, a young black Marxist who almost won the governorship of Georgia. He was backing Stacey Abrams, another black socialist who almost won the governorship of that state. And he was also doing big voter registration drives in Arizona, which is why Arizona now has two Democrat senators, by working the Latino populations of Arizona. So this is a strategy. The Maoist strategy applied to today, racial politics. You play the racial card, you talk up racial grievances, you talk up oppression, you talk up reparations, you talk up how the black man is oppressed, the Asians are oppressed, the Latinos are oppressed, and racism is endemic in the Republican Party, the Trump movement, and the white population in general. This is what is being taught to every college kid virtually in the country, every young minority in the country, and they're using these aggrieved minorities and the guilt-tripped white kids to create majorities that can win for the Democratic Party, a Democratic Party that is now communist. And so you see this play out. You see this play out all over the place. You saw this play out in this election. At the same time, Liberation Road and Left Roots, which are very tied into Steve Phillips, they set up Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a front for these communist parties, front for pro-Chinese communists. And these pro-Chinese communists have very deep links to the Chinese consulate in San Francisco. At the same time, they also set up big voter registration organizations. They set up a network in the key battleground states. They had a group called Pennsylvania Stands Up in Pennsylvania, a block in Wisconsin, black leaders organizing communities, Detroit Action in Michigan. They had the New Georgia Project run by Stacey Abrams in Georgia, the New Florida Majority run by Liberation Road in Florida, Lucha run by Marxists in Arizona. And they worked the Latino and black communities like crazy in these states to lift the Democratic Party vote. Completely a Chinese Maoist operation, all based on race. This is the modern application of the nationalities question first posed by Stalin back in the 1920s, developed by Mao Zedong in the 30s and the 40s, applied here in the 60s with the civil rights movement and then the Black Panther movement. This has been modernized through the Rainbow Coalition and is now the dominant method for the left of fomenting revolution in this country. And just to show how it works on a more local scale, if you look at Virginia, Virginia was a reliably Republican state up until about 10 years ago. Very deeply red. Nobody thought you could ever flip Virginia. And the local Republican Party never bothered about reaching out to the minorities because they thought they had a majority and they always have a majority. Well, in 2007, Liberation Road communists set up a group in that state called New Virginia Majority. And they're like Acorn. They wear orange t-shirts and they go around and sign up hundreds of thousands of minority voters to vote for the Democratic Party. And they work with the governor of Virginia at the time, Terry McAuliffe, to legalize the votes of 200,000 Virginia felons. Most of them, or a large proportion of the minorities. So they gave them the vote. This is what they used to flip Virginia, completely racial politics. And this was all done by Liberation Road, getting money from the Democracy Alliance. And the leader of this group is a Liberation Road comrade called Steve Liss, who used to work in the Rainbow Coalition back in the 80s. And to, just to prove the point, they're very scientific. They have every precinct in Virginia mapped out. They know the racial demographics and social demographics of every precinct, where the Ethiopians are, where the Iranians are, where the Puerto Ricans are, so they can send Puerto Rican volunteers into Puerto Rican areas. And they have this mapped out through what they call CIS mapping. And these are very sophisticated computer-generated maps. And they're done by a Liberation Road communist called Steve McClure, a geography graduate from George Mason University. Well, for the last 10 years, Steve McClure has been generating maps for Liberation Road to flip southern states, starting with Virginia, but now working in North Carolina through the Carolina Federation, through Georgia with the New Georgia Project, in Tennessee through Memphis for All and the Nashville Justice Project. They are working to flip these southern states, and they are using technology from Steve McClure, maps from Steve McClure. Well, guess where Steve McClure's been working for the last 10 years? He's been working out of the geography department of Wuhan University, China. He's been paid a Chinese salary. He's been using Chinese computers to generate maps that pro-China communists, pro-China Maoists are using to sign up racial minorities all over the southern states of America and the battleground states in the Midwest to flip those districts for the Democrats and to destroy President Trump. That's what it's all about. This is the nationalities question. This is racial politics. This is Maoism applied to modern electoral politics in the states. They are stealing American states right in front of our eyes. The Maoists and the Chinese are exploiting racial differences in this country to turn this country into a permanent democratic state controlled by the communists. So please, people, tune in. You know, this is what's happening. So keep following my show. Keep following Enemies Within. Keep looking at my material. We'll develop this deeper in weeks to come. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.